Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host with the most, Nikki Carulla. Eddie Pence is out and about, missing in action as always, but he'll be back. Don't worry. Don't you worry. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have Karuna Tanahashi. Did I say
yes,
it right?
You said that.
Man,
perfectly.
I feel like I was like kind of sneezing in Japanese for a second.
Well, actually, my first name is Indian, so.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. What does your name mean?
It means compassion in Sanskrit.
And I just lacked all compassion with that joke, didn't I? You're like, man, this guy is going to hell. No, I'm just kidding.
It's all good.
I'm just kidding. That's
we're musicians. No, we're all going to hell.
Your name is awesome. Your name
Thank
is awesome.
You. Thank you.
So tell me, I'm going to jump right in first. You're half Japanese, I assume.
I am half Japanese.
That's where the Tanahashi comes from?
Yep. See? They wrote a Weezer song about my people.
Okay. That's how'd you end up with an Indian name?
My mom is actually an India scholar. So she is, she was until a couple of years ago a professor at Stanford. She just retired and got a dog like all of us.
Oh, nice. What kind of dog?
She's like we think she's like a mix between a golden retriever and a corgi.
Oh, nice.
AKA a golden
orgy. That'll keep her busy.
Yeah, totally.
Gonna have her hands.
So she retired, but she was a professor of religious studies, specializing in South Asian studies, Indian religion and poetry.
That's awesome. Those are my people.
Do you know the poet Kabir? She translates Kabir
a little bit. Yeah,
it's a mystical poet.
I mean, I couldn't recite any, but I do know.
Can leave it to her.
So how did she get way involved in that?
She went to India in 1964 before hippies were actually called hippies, and she studied it and she fell in love with it, and she can pattern Hindi with the, you know, haggling with the taxi drivers.
That's
like
amazing.
Any native.
Wow.
She dragged our whole family to India. Well, yeah, I mean, it was.
Did you happen to go to Kerala by chance?
I haven't really been to the south mostly, but mostly in the north, but we lived in like Varanasi and Mussoorie. We were there for a year when I was like 6 to 7.
That's amazing.
So.
I don't know many people other than Indians that have gone to India. That's awesome.
It's an amazing country. It feels like a second home.
See, you're talking so well about my people. It is. It's, you know, I've been there.
I feel like a Desi inside almost.
Yeah, I've been there about 5 or 6 times, and like I haven't
That's
gone
awesome.
As an adult like now. So I'm like, I keep asking my brother, I'm like, hey, man, you want to go? And he's like, nah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm like, no, man, brother, voyage. Let's do this.
It's amazing.
I'll get him to go at some point.
Go to, have you been to Varanasi, like the Ghats, and go and see, watch them burn dead bodies by the river. And
whoa.
It's very, very intense. I mean, imagine this is like a 7-year-old.
I've been to Assam. I've been to Goa. I've been to, where else have I been? Kerala, obviously. A lot of the south. I've seen the Taj Mahal.
Yeah,
I've done all
beautiful.
That, Agra and all that. But there's never a part of India that I like don't want to just explore because it's so different.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's
state
amazing.
To state.
You feel like you're traveled in time when you go to the old parts. You know. So.
Awesome. Well, okay. Well, then when did you come here?
When did I come to LA?
Yeah.
Or I came to LA 10 years ago, just past my 10-year anniversary.
All right.
I moved, I think, the Tuesday or Wednesday after Memorial Day weekend.
How'd you decide that? You're like, okay, it's gonna have to be after a big weekend. Then I can make the long trek.
Honestly, it was probably just the moment when I had a place and I had my ducks in a row. You know, I'd been wanting to. I'd kind of always dreamed of living in L.A. Like, I always wanted to be that kid on a sitcom or whatever. You know, I started out as an actress. And
okay.
That's kind of still what I feel like I am underneath it all. I kind of wear a lot of hats. Most people around LA.
Yet like, you don't have any hat on right now. You know, you can't make that statement and not have a hat on.
I have headphones.
I'm just kidding. Count? I'm just kidding.
I have a lot of hair. We can just.
So did you study acting in school?
I studied theater. Yeah, I was. I had a BA in theater. I went to Smith College, and then I did theater professionally for a little while in the Bay Area, and then I came to LA. Yeah, I kind of came here with the intention to do acting, and then I just kind of ended up doing like a bunch of other things, including music, which I just never imagined that I would be able to do or be good enough to do, or would, you know, how in what universe would that ever happen?
Right.
But, you know.
Well, you know, LA is like one of those cities where it's like, okay, it's like, show us what you got. New York's like a harsher version of that, but LA is like, show us what you got. You came here to act, you can do it all if you want, or you can do none of it, or you can do what you like, or... Figure it out. You know, it kind of gives you this like tough awakening, you know.
It is. But, you know, you have that meandering path to wherever you want to go. And you find a lot of cool things along the way.
Yeah.
One of them being music for me. You know?
So did you study musical theater in school, too?
Yeah, a little bit. And I took like jazz voice lessons my last year of college. And I'd taken some vocal coaching after college. So it was always kind of in me, but I never wanted to admit that that was something that I did.
Because, why? Were you afraid of it?
Yeah. You know, when I first moved to LA, I found myself in the, do you remember like Upright Cabaret?
Yeah.
So I went there and I saw all of these amazing people who were like Broadway and American Idol. And a couple of them I'd even seen and like was a fan of before. And so there were all these vocal gymnasts doing these incredibly technical, you know, riffs and runs and hitting high notes through the rafters and stuff. And so I just kind of figured like, oh, if I'm not that type of a singer, I'm not a singer. Which is funny because actually stylistically I am like that now. And I, you know, kind of got past the whole mental block of like, I could never hit a high note or something.
Right.
You know.
Well, the funny thing is like singing is 85% psychological.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so many people that don't understand how much of a mind game it really is. And once you get past that, it's like, oh, it's possible. Anything's possible.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of found that, like, yeah, just the confidence you need to be able to hit the high notes, like you, and or do whatever it is that you want to do. You know, write original stuff.
Yeah.
You know, sing runs, whatever it is. You have to have that confidence to be able to even go for it before you can actually technically do it.
Yeah.
Like you have to believe it's possible. And for the longest time, I didn't. And now I kind of just believe that anything's possible.
Well, I love that. That's the optimism that most artists need. Now let's go back even further. What was the moment of Zen that made you want to be an artist?
Well, my dad is an artist, so I think it's kind of always been in me. And my mom is a poet, and she's very creative in her own way, although she doesn't have, you know, the professional credentials necessarily. But yeah, my dad is a full-on. He came to the United States from Japan to be a painter. And
wow.
He does this crazy art, you know, and he was misunderstood for a long time, and he really just always did his own thing, and people love him now. So he's a very big inspiration to me.
That's awesome. What kind of painter, what kind of art does he do?
He is trained in classical Japanese calligraphy, but he also does, like, his contemporary Zen art, and he does kind of everything. Actually, he helped me get into songwriting because...
That's cool.
Ironically, everyone in my family in some way is a songwriter of some kind. And
that's tough company. It's like, yeah, hey, your chorus is cool, but you could really work on that bridge.
Yeah, totally. So luckily they're not like, you know, I think I'm probably the most professional, you know, at least in my pursuit of it. But
I think you just started a competition over there with your family.
Oh, shit. I have a very talented family. Yeah, but ironically, the only person who has an album up on Spotify at this moment is my dad.
Wow.
He had a project that was for his 70th birthday. He's 85 now, doing well, knock on
wood. Wow.
And he did a project for his 70th birthday where he wrote these peace poems and had a bunch of people from around the world and in all different styles compose music. And he had his 70th birthday be like a music festival where everyone performed his peace songs.
That's amazing.
So the former president of Costa Rica was there while he was still alive, who basically created the initiative to disarm Costa Rica so that Costa Rica has no armies or navies. My dad is a peace activist as well, as you could probably guess. So
wow.
He really just embodies like the kind of just he's the epitome of a visionary. So
he never got angry with you ever? Just kidding. Because you know what? When people are that peaceful, it's like, yeah, you're not allowed to be angry. You should be peaceful.
I know. He's very zen. Very zen.
That's awesome.
So it's cool. I kind of have been inspired by him. And he's also the one who's bought me my cameras because I also do photography. And so, yeah, I've been very lucky, and also, you know, I just kind of...
So you were around it. You were just around artists all the time.
Yeah, I was. I was around artists and Zen Buddhists, so...
Wow. And how did you choose theater to kind of venture?
Well, I remember I was a gymnast when I was a kid. I was a competitive gymnast. That was like my heart and soul. And one day, one of my coaches said to us, "So, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I was like... There was just a moment in my head where I was like, "Oh, you mean I can't be a professional Olympic gymnast like
forever?"
I thought I would be an Olympic gold medalist. I don't know why. I just had this idea in my head.
Hey, it's never too late. You're like, actually, it is. I'm just kidding.
After the last car accident, I don't think my back could handle it, but we'll see.
Right.
So he said, you know, "Oh, what do you guys all want to be?" And I was like, "Oh, I have to come up with something really fast." And so I was just like, "I want to be an actress." And my gymnastics coach, who was, you know, everything to me, like, in that moment in my life, looked at me and said, "I think you'd be a pretty good actress."
And you're like, "Damn, that was a good answer."
That kind of was just like that. The rest is history.
So did you study like Shakespearean, the whole classic?
Yeah. I love Shakespeare. I did a bunch of like Shakespeare festivals, Shakespeare in the Park, Shakespeare at the Beach. My first role out of college was Desdemona in Othello.
Oh, yeah. That was my first opera.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's a weird parallel.
Yeah.
That's not like a light story.
No.
It's not a light role either.
Kill somebody or be killed.
Yeah, you were in a love triangle.
Definitely.
Man, Iago and Othello, right? Yeah.
Yeah, our Iago is amazing. He was such a badass.
Your keyboardist is like, "What are they talking about?" I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I like Shakespeare.
All right. We're going to quiz you after this, so you better be ready.
I'm ready.
He's ready for anything. He actually, I was looking for somebody today to play keyboards, and he was like, "I'm on it." So he learned my songs, and he is ready.
You just learned it today?
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Why don't we jump into a song? How about that?
Play a song.
Let's do it. What are you going to play us?
Are you feeling something fast or something slow?
You tell us.
Let's actually do Hired Gun. This is an up-tempo song, and this is for all you musicians out there. I don't know if anyone out there listening is a musician, but
there are musicians listening. That's for
this
sure.
This is dedicated to you. You like 'em pretty, you like 'em little, you like 'em heavy, you like 'em metal, you like to pack a bunch in your clip. You like to clutch them in your cold, hard grip. You think my trigger is oh so sweet. And when you pull it, do you feel complete? You got to thinking you could tinker with me for fun. But I am not your hired gun. Not your hired gun. Not your hired. I may be little, but I am lethal. My firepower is barely legal. You're too afraid to leave me unmanned. That's why you keep me in the palm of your hand. You think my trigger is oh so sweet. And when you pull it, do you feel complete? You got to thinking you could tinker with me for fun. But I am not your hired gun. Not your hired gun. Not
seconds. Ooh, our studio audience loves it. Look at that.
Thank you.
Now, what was the inspiration behind that?
Well,
come back to earth. There you go.
Yeah, this is where we get into the nitty gritty. I think it's in general about being in the industry, especially a woman in the industry, and you know, being treated like an object, maybe being taken for granted, and it's also a little bit about gun control from the point of view of the gun.
Okay. You're tackling two major issues in one song. I love it.
Yeah. You know, it's like I did the kind of little bit of the gigging thing, cover band thing for a little while, and the cover band went south a bit. And I just, this song kind of came out of that because I was feeling a little disempowered. I was like, okay, you know, we all do feel like hired guns sometimes. And, you know, we do what we're told. We stand here, we play this, we sing this. And so, for me, I just wanted to have a way to rewrite that so that, right, you know, you can feel like, okay, who am I when I'm not this person to whoever is, you know.
It kind of had like a musical theater vibe.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way I write. I love Broadway.
Yeah.
You
should be writing a musical. And then put yourself in it. There you go.
I want to. I do have a musical short film, actually. So,
oh, wow.
I would love to get it produced. It's called Shanghai Square Dance Showdown. It's an Asian identity musical
amazing comedy.
So,
how'd you come up with that?
So, actually, I wrote it for me and my friend, Aiden Park, who is an actor-singer. He's also an amazing comedian. And we were living up in the Bay at the time. And his name used to be Sung. His name was Sung Min Park. And I was like, I really love that name. It just has such a cool ring to it, and it's so unique. And then he changed it to Aiden Park because he was like, oh, well, people aren't going to think I speak English as my first language if I have an all-Korean name, you know, this and that. And I was like, that's fucked up. So I kind of wrote this musical about, like, two Asian-American actors.
Like racial stigmas.
So, yeah, and they're, like, both trying to audition for a part in the new Chow Mein Western. And, like, we're both trying to audition against type. So, like, his character, he's full Korean-American born, and he wants to be a cowboy, and I want to be a ninja. So, like, you know, he teaches me how to be Asian, and I teach him how to be white, and there's song and dance numbers and food fights and racial slurs.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm ready to see that. By the way, that was Mikey Smith on keys, right?
Thank you, Mikey.
All the way from Denver, Colorado. Yeah, man. Yeah, you're slaying it. I was watching you doing your little solo. You're comping with the left. You know, it's funny, you know, whenever I solo, I find myself, I watched you, actually look at your left hand more than your right hand. Do you notice that?
No.
Look at your left hand more than your right hand. I'm like, I do the same thing. Like, my left hand, it's like, it's doing the least amount of stuff, but it's like, I don't need to pay attention to what my right hand's doing, but it's like, make sure you're getting those chords. Make sure you're getting those flips.
Yeah, because the licks are there in the right. Got to keep the integrity, the harmony.
Keep the groove going. Sounded great, man. It's tight. Very tight. Very tight.
And in case you guys didn't hear, he answered a call that I put out today. So we rehearsed these this afternoon, and he is amazing.
That's awesome. Job well done.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, well, that's what I do, man. That's what I came to the big city for, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So you
dream.
So you left theater, or are you still kind of pursuing that as well?
I do want to, and I do sometimes act. You know, it's kind of always in you once you do it, and especially if you've done it for a lot of years. I really like music because it's more in my control. You know, I don't have to wait for anybody to give me a job. I can be working on my own stuff all the time. I can be collabing with people I know. It can be on a smaller scale. You know, if you're doing a video thing, you have to have, you know, if you're creating your own content, you have to have lights and sound and this and that.
Right.
Otherwise, you're, you know, submitting for stuff, or your agent's submitting for stuff, and you're kind of waiting for the phone to ring. And I'm not the type of person who likes to wait around for the phone to ring.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm the same way. It's like, make it happen on your own.
Exactly.
You know, why wait for somebody else, right?
Right.
That's the age of the industry, too, right now. It's like, you know, it's weird because a lot of artists, like, I know a lot of artists that, like, wait for things to happen. I'm like, oh, you're one of those. That's cool. But really, you're going to wait a long time, or you're going to end up being in a big gig that you end up hating because it's not what you really want to do. So
definitely.
It's like find your bliss, follow it, and do the hustle, because that's really where it's at.
Yeah.
That's right. See? So let me ask you this. So you kind of fell in love with singing, fell in love with writing. How long have you been writing? You have a new record coming out. You have a new track coming out soon.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I have a, it's going to be a country song, which is super exciting. It's called Bang Bang. And in case you didn't tell from that weird expression on my face, I have like so many feelings about it because I started recording with my producer, Omer Avni. I don't know if you know him, but anyway.
Yeah, I know him, man. Yeah.
So yeah, we've been working together a couple of years. Most of the stuff that is for this album or EP or whatever it is stuff that I was writing like once I started working with him. So it's new stuff. But this country song I wrote 5 years ago, I thought I would try to sell it to somebody. I had a friend years ago who listened to it when I very first wrote it and made a demo for it. And he was like, you could sell this to Miranda Lambert, you know. So, of course, I did what any good songwriter would do, and I let it sit on the shelf and collect dust for 5 years.
Can't do that.
So now we're revamping it, and it's super exciting. I'm singing on it. I have Rich Redmond on drums. He's Jason Aldean's drummer, and got a really amazing country sound. He did like amazing tambo and shakers, and just like he's the perfect match of like the artist as well as like the really on point session musician.
Right.
And then I have Omer and my friend Ellie Jaffe doing guitar and bass. And
isn't it awesome when it all comes together? There's nothing better than that. It's like, man.
It's been so long in the works. And my friend Kevin Parker Robinson, amazing vocalist, did a bunch of really cool backup vocals. So
when's it going to be released?
I would love to have a July 4th release with a music video. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I did recently meet my video director in a Lyft ride.
Whoa, how did that happen? You obviously called Lyft, but I mean like...
Well, he called Lyft. Okay. I was driving Lyft. And this is a beautiful thing. I was a Lyft driver for a long time. I stopped doing it because I had back injuries from a car accident. And I just do it a little bit here and there now. But I met this guy and we started talking. And, you know, he was telling me that he's been directing music videos for 15 years. And he owns a Red camera. And
that's awesome.
So yeah, we have a bar. We're gonna shoot it at a Tin Horn Flats in Burbank if all goes well.
Nice.
You know where that is?
No.
It is such a cowboy place. Like you look at it from the outside and it literally looks like a saloon. Like it has the doors, the wooden doors.
It's awesome. Yeah, that's what's so cool. There's so many cool places to shoot here. It's like it's an amazing like wealth of just players, musicians, artists, filmmakers, and when all of it comes together, you're like, this is crazy. This is crazy.
Yeah. Still mostly waiting for that, but I feel like that's happened to me so many times over in LA. And
right.
It's just such a beautiful thing to be able to meet and even sometimes, you know, be friends with or work with people that you've idolized or that have been icons in.
So did you choose this song because it was sitting on the shelf and you were like, I love this song still as much as the day I wrote it? Or did you want to just put a country song out because you love country music?
Both, but definitely was like we were jamming on it in the studio one night and my friend Ellie and then Omer and I, and all of a sudden Ellie was just like, you should put this on your album. And I'm like, I don't know, should I, Omer? Like, and he was like, yeah, so.
You're like, boom, and now it comes out.
It's a really empowering thing, especially to go from like songwriter to artist.
Right.
Because for a little while I thought I wanted to be a songwriter and write for other people because I didn't think that I had it in me to be an artist. You know, an art, whatever that means, you know.
It's like it sounds like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to, like, instead of just doing it, just do it.
You're right.
Who cares?
You're right. It's
don't get in your own way. That's hard enough to just do it on your own, you know?
Life coaching by Nikki Carulla.
I'm telling you from experience. No, I mean, it's like I've been an artist, and it's like now I write for other artists, and it's like I have both things, and, you know, I wrote a song for Ziggy Marley, and
nice.
And he turned it down, and I knew it was a good song. And I was like, well, if he doesn't take it, doesn't take it. 6 months later, he made a 180. Because I just believe in the song. I'm like, you know what? If people like it, cool. If they don't like it, cool. Doesn't matter. But so much of this industry is based on these impressions that you feel like you have to please somebody else or like you have to be at a certain level of blah, 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 blah. It's like if you do the work, nothing else matters. Just do the work and just jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
High five that. We're high five.
Definitely.
That. See?
High five.
High five. High five. High five. There we go. Nice.
Hey.
See? We don't mess around. All right. So, and you've been doing like YouTube videos and doing all kinds of
I do
looping
these little acapella things where I like stack my vocals and then I sing all the parts on camera, which kind of came about too. actually after this whole cover band thing, because I was convinced that I was not a good singer, or, you know, I was being, you know, whatever. Somebody said that, like, somebody else was a better singer than me, and I was like, okay, you know, I need to prove to myself what I'm made of for me.
Right.
You know, because, like, you need to come back to yourself as an artist and say, hey, what am I about? Like, what is valuable? And also, how can I find the correct medium to showcase my particular unique set of skills?
Right.
So as a photographer and a videographer, I thought, well, I can shoot something myself and I can edit something myself, and I can also sing the parts because I'm good at harmonies, but yeah, I suck at instruments. So it's kind of a good workaround for both things, because I can showcase my harmonies, but also I don't have to have, like, anything I have to play, because
right,
I feel like my singing is, you know, like, whatever.
Well, that's what's great about acapella arrangements are just awesome in general. It's like,
I love that.
Me too. I was in an acapella group in college. So
awesome. What was your acapella group called?
We were called All Right.
What's going
on? All Right at USC.
Nice.
And the funny thing is, it's like, we just recently started doing, like, Laker games. We have a national anthem.
Oh, fun.
So we do Laker games. We did a Dodgers game. And it's amazing because, like, we're all good friends. Mm-hmm. And we go and sing for these games. It's like, hang with your boys. But on a whole, we had courtside seats at Lakers.
Wow.
We had behind home plate at a Dodger game. It was just amazing. It's like going to a game, but in the most ridiculous way that you could possibly go to a game. So it's
totally,
like, it's, and we just love to sing together. So we just, the harmony thing is, it's a big thing for singers. It's like, if you can do that, you can hear it. And if you can hear it, that you're already ahead of the game than most singers, because there are a lot of singers that can't do that. They can sing lead all day long, and then you're like, ask them to stack harmonies, and they can't hear it.
It is really funny how that works, you know, or it's like, you'll get in a group of, you know, of singers, and it's like, everyone wants to do the high part or something.
Right.
And then, you know, there's a
couple. Or the melody. I'll sing the lead. It's like, yeah, I don't want to sing lead when I sing harmony. I'm like, oh, dude, give me like the crazy weird part.
Yeah,
I'm
totally.
Like, I want to be the weird guy that sings the crazy dark harmonies. Like, I love that stuff.
Yeah, we'll have to jam out on some.
So how long does it take you to do when you do an arrangement?
It takes a really long time, actually. I know a lot of people use, like, the acapella app, which I downloaded, but I haven't tried. Mm. I like to do it all manually because I know how, like, with the editing and stuff. And, you know, you can just control, like, sound and takes and stuff. So I really do try to make it look like everything is sung live, although realistically, like, I you know, I mostly do wild sound takes for the vocals, because when you're I do little dance moves, and when you're doing dance moves, it's like hard to it's hard to sing completely in tune when you're, like, moving your head and bobbing around.
Did you teach Mikey any of the choreography?
We did.
He's like, I just learned the steps today.
Just
you know, I'm just going to play a clip of one of the a cappella songs.
All
just
right.
A little minute clip. Which one do you want to play?
Actually, let's play.
You tell me.
Let's play let's play this one. This is not a song that you would have necessarily heard of, but this is my friend Scotty Grand. It's his song, Change Everything, and I hope you guys know of him because he's amazing. So this is called Change Everything. The video has my puppy in it, but you can't see the puppy. But
oh, that's awesome. Okay,
you can imagine him.
In this part of a life where shit gets too much, if I was you, give a fuck. Oh, I love music's down in my bones. Don't got nowhere to go but the floor. Whoa, whoa, oh,
if you don't have what you need
to change everything,
if you don't like who you see
to change everything,
we ain't stuck to a scene.
Just drive away.
There's so much just to be.
Change everything, thing. Change everything, thing. Change everything.
In this part of our life.
Yeah, that was awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut it off.
No, that was the end.
So I did that perfectly, is what you're saying.
Perfectly.
You're like, so what you're saying is I'm a professional.
You're practically perfect in every way.
Your dog's adorable, by the way.
Thank you.
We've talked about our dogs, like,
oh, yeah.
Dogs. They're amazing. amazing.
It really does.
Awesome, awesome rendition. That was amazing.
Thank you.
It's amazing how you time the choreography and all of it syncs together. That's, you're adding a lot of steps that, man, that just sounds complicated.
It is complicated, but it's also very fun. And it's also like, okay, what can I do that no one, not that no one else really can do, but it's like these combine all of the things that I do in a fun way that
right.
has my stamp on it.
Right.
And also that video in particular has a cool story. So Scotty has this EP out called The Recipe, and he's in Vegas right now with PMJ doing a thing. And so he,
awesome.
Yeah, he's really, really cool. And he had this challenge where he asked people not only to sing a minute of the song, but also to talk about something in your life that you want to change. And so I was able
good
to
message.
Really, it was like a, it was a good catharsis for me, and it was a really wonderful experience. And I happened to
awesome.
Win the contest, so that was fun.
That's amazing.
He's going to be my duet partner on something on my album. So
awesome.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. Well, let's get to another song. What are you going to play us next?
Let's play Lose Love. This is a power ballad, and actually, before today, I think only two people in the universe had ever heard it, so this is kind of fun.
All right. I like it. Don't be nervous,
Bring in the darkness. You dreamed it. Everything feels aligned, and it would seem that it's gonna be a long, long time. But if you wanna see stars in your eyes, you gotta know what it's like to lose love. When you say your last goodbyes, if it's true, it'll crush you deep inside, but you choose love when the chances are high that you're gonna lose love. You keep your neck close, don't wanna get too high, and then you let go, set yourself gonna lose love. Every sweet little moment makes you smile for days. Time slows in the instant that you're lost inside their gaze. And your heart's rough and bleeding when it all gets torn away. But you go through the you just can't be afraid to lose love. When you say your last goodbyes, if it's true love, it'll crush you deep inside, but you choose a love when the chances are high that you're gonna lose love. Ooh.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. You got to write
Thank
a musical.
You.
Both of you together. I mean, just
All
that's
right.
it.
Hey.
No, it's got a vibe. It's
you
got
heard it
really,
on Nikki Carulla Radio.
I'm telling you. It's like it's the songs lend itself to the theater.
I love bands like Queen and Aerosmith and bands that have a lot of theatricality. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so that's kind of part of where I take my inspiration from.
Well, you'd need to write it into a full story and put it on a stage and say, voila, this is me. Boom. See that?
One of these days, yes. It's going to happen. You.
Mark my words, Mikey. Mark my words. This is going to be on the theater.
Mikey Boom. Smith on the keys.
That's right. Yeah, Mikey. Our studio audience loves you. Take a bow. Take a bow. You've learned the songs well. All right. So let me ask you this. Do you perform live?
I haven't a lot lately. Mostly I've just been focusing on writing and recording, you know, because all of it takes so much effort here in
LA.
Right. So, like, I want to have something to show for myself before I start putting my energy toward that, because that already takes a lot of energy. So, like, I need to, you know, get something down and have something to promote. And also, I feel like in the studio, at least so far, is kind of like where I've been able to show who I am the best, you know.
Yeah.
I love all the details of, you know, working out all the parts and bringing in people who I feel like are really right for it. Maybe not just because of their musical stylings, but because of the story, you know, of where they came from or something that happened to them that is a part of the song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And how, like, you've never put out a whole record then?
I have not, no.
So have you let out any, this is your first single that's coming out?
It will be. I have demos and stuff. I have different, you know, stuff kind of out there and covers, but this is really the first time I'm going to be showing myself as who I am truly.
Now, I'm an old man in the game, but when I look at, like, the market and how it works, like, do you think it's better to do an album? Do you think it's better to do singles? Do you think it's better to do videos?
Good question. Well, definitely.
Because I think it's always changing, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's just a big...
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I think it's especially hard for people who are old school and kind of used to analog, which is before, you know, my time in the music world, but, you know, like, that's the way I thought. You know, I listened to stuff on albums, so I was so attached to putting out an album, you know, and I'm realizing now that that's probably not so feasible, so it might be an EP, and I'm definitely going to release, like, singles as they
right.
come out, because it is a very ADHD world, and, you know, it's not exactly the same as it used to be. You know, it's very different. So
I keep telling, like, all of our fans, I'm like, I'm gonna do one more record, and then it's just all singles. I'm gonna do one more, no more albums after that. But, like, the band, every time, like, we rehearse, it's like, how could I not do an album? Because there's
yeah.
something magical about, like, going into a studio and doing a full on album and going through, like, all the chaos of it, and then having a product, you know, 10, 12 songs. There's something about that experience that says more to me. To me, you know what I mean? Like, going through it as an artist.
I agree.
Even if you don't, even if people don't listen to it, just having that record done, it's like a bigger accomplishment to me. You know what I mean?
It is. And that's
even an EP
is
the same way. It's the same way with an EP. It's like four or five songs, but it still has the same vibe.
I didn't even know if I could do an EP.
Oh, yeah,
you
could definitely do it.
Oh, no, I don't know if I can do an EP. It has to be an album or nothing. But then it was like, okay, you know what? Let's actually just, like, release some music this century, because... I had started working on this project, and I was kind of waiting for a few of my dream cast to be available and to schedule them and to, you know, to be able to pay them and stuff like that. And I was able to get, like, most of the players that I really, really wanted, you know, but I had a car accident, and just things were really kind of messed up for the past couple of years. And,
right.
you know, thankfully I got Teddy and all that, my little dog, and he's helped me a lot, but just, you know, it got so slowed down that I was like, well, it's like college. Done is better than good. I mean, it's going to be great. Like,
yeah.
all the music is going to be great, but it's, like, not necessarily going to be in the vessel that I was initially planning for, you know?
Well, that's, you know what, that will only really be truly valued with time. Like,
yeah.
20 years from now, 30 years from now, like, what you think, some of the best artists that are celebrated, they can't listen to some of these works that they did, or they can't, like a painting that they loved or hated
mm-hmm.
is either celebrated or not, you know, depending. And you can't really decide. It's like only time will tell. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
definitely.
Like, I did my first record, I think, in 2003. And it, like, you know, it's been over a decade. And now I look at that record with very fond memories.
Aww.
But when I was in it, it's like, it's hectic. And it's like, you're trying to appease people, this imaginary industry that's like, oh yeah, oh, it's got to be this, and then I'll get my break. And it's like, I learned to make my own breaks. And now it's like, you know what? I can stand by every record because I know the songs are good and crafted well. So it's like, don't listen to the voices that are telling you not to do something. Just go for it. Throw it down.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Connect four.
Connect four. Wait, what? Okay. Well, I want to play one. Let me play one of your demos.
Connect four.
Which demo do you want to play? I'll play one of your demos.
Let's play Your Best Is Ahead of You. Yeah, this is, and you will hear Rich's drum track in here. This is Rich Redmond. He's an amazing drummer. He did three of my tracks. And this is meant to be a duet. So.
Okay. Your best is ahead of you. Here it is.
Feels like I'm stuck in my bed. Can't keep a single thought in my head. Open my eyes and I see I'm nowhere near where I thought I'd be. Stare at the pics on my phone of everybody I think I know. Wish I could be them just for a moment, because I'm feeling low. But my best is ahead of me, and your best is ahead of you. No need to wallow and waste your tomorrows in all that you didn't do. And I guess that it's hard to see, together and make something better and new, 'cause your best is ahead of you. Won't let a thing get me down, so I brush on my makeup and paint the town. Check every box on my list of everything that I thought I missed. Tomorrow's in all that you didn't do. And I get that it's hard to see, but I know what you're going through. We'll work together and make something better than you, 'cause your best is ahead of you. You believe you can't think that this is the end. You'll get everything that you dream. It's not just an if, it's a when. Don't accept what they couldn't see. Remember what you know is true, 'cause your best is better with me. My best is ahead of me.
Oh yeah.
And your best is ahead of you. No need to wallow and waste your tomorrows in all that you didn't do. And I get that it's yours.
You know, the funny thing about demos, people don't always know how to listen to them. But there's something I love about a demo. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you this because I just walked into a rehearsal and made 5 demos of piano songs with my band. And people won't hear the same thing that you're going to hear. It's the potential that you know. You're like, oh, if this is of higher fidelity, it's the parts are there, the idea is there, the song is there, the form is there. Just like recording that is sometimes even more exciting than recording a full-on record or a full-on studio track. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like there's some lightning in a bottle that you capture.
We're making with nothing a demo. From something.
Yes, yes. And most people don't know how to hear a demo. Most people will listen to a demo like, well, the drums sound dumb. They kind of sound like, you know, they could be recorded better. Or, oh, yeah, the vocals could be recorded. It's like you're not hearing it. You're not hearing a demo for what is there. And
yeah.
So I know that feeling where it's like where you've mapped out a lot of stuff. And I'm like, there's excitement because you see the vision.
I'm really glad we're having this conversation.
Yeah, because it's important. It's important because most people don't know how to listen to a demo. It's like, I've played stuff for friends, family, doesn't matter. Like demos, and they're like, well, it doesn't, you know, I can't really hear the words or whatever it is, but you hear it.
Exactly. You're like, I hope you hear what I'm trying to do.
But they're not going to always hear it in the same way.
Yeah.
But it's just like the documenting is what
is
the important part of the process because we're able to do that now.
We are.
You know, like when you think about like the old Baroque composers, they'd have to write it out. And they wouldn't even be able to hear it until it was performed. You know what I mean?
Symphony,
like,
yeah.
So it's like having that ability just to make a quick demo like that. What did you record that? Did you do it on Logic or like a digital recorder or something?
Actually, I think most of it was recorded on my phone.
Wow.
And because I am a little bit of an idiot with audio, which, you know, I lack in audio make up for in video, but yeah, I don't really know about audio editing that much and recording, so I don't know how to do MIDI. I just kind of would stick like the phone next to my monitor and just like play, and then I will edit it together, and it takes like a million.
It's got a vibe. I mean, there are some moments. I mean, I'm wearing a Prince shirt. There's some moments where I'm like, oh man, that sounds like a Prince drum machine with an Oberon, like what he would do on like some like, you know, old school 80s tracks, you know, like. Because it has like that kind of ingenuity of, how do we make this sound something like something it needs to be? You know what
That's
I mean?
That's really cool.
It's interesting because most people, like I was listening to that. I'm like, I know that feeling of being excited about a demo. And it's like, I still listen to demos. You know, sometimes I've been in a situation. My drummer told me this, you know, the other day. He's like, you know, I wrote a song and then made a rehearsal with my guitarist and saxophonist. And we arranged a song and I emailed it to the band and I was out on another tour playing solo shows, flew back, the band rehearsed the song, and then we played it at the House of Blues. And, like, my drummer, before we went on, he's like, must be cool that you just, like, rehearsed this, wrote it in a week, you're playing it at the House of Blues, and it's going to be so dialed in. And I'm like, funny thing is, my favorite, recording of it is the demo. It's still the demo. Even though we've done a record with it, it's played at Staples Center for a Lakers game. My favorite recording of it is that exciting first demo of it because that's like the first capturing of lightning in a bottle. So
it is.
Keep making demos. That's
Thanks.
The moral of this story.
Yeah.
And keep letting them turn into final recordings.
And this one, yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
This one we actually did. I mean, it's definitely further along, although I don't have that mix, but we just recorded keys. My friend Rudy Love Jr., who's awesome, did some keyboard tracks, and we are going to get horns on to do that riff.
Awesome. So, love it.
And then once Scotty comes back, he's going to work his magic and do it. So.
Come on, Scotty. Get with the program.
Scotty
Mikey,
Graham.
Mikey's ready. He's frothing at the mouth. He's like, yeah, he just said, call me. I can do it. We don't need those horn players. I can play them with my right hand.
Well, unless they make a teleportation device, we'll wait until he gets back from Vegas where he's busy being a superstar.
Okay.
And we're going to make it happen.
Where can people find you if they want to be a fan of your music, find out when your releases, what are your Instagram, Facebook handles, whatever, your websites?
You can pretty much find me mostly on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as well, Karuna Tanahashi.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
On Instagram, it's at KarunaTanahashi. You can make it into a little song. At K-A-R-U-N-A-T-A-N-A-H-A. Fuck.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
T-A-N-A-H-A-S-H-I. Anyway.
Sweet.
Wow. I don't even know my own name.
Well, let me ask you this, too, before we take off. You just recently became a chocolatier.
I did, yeah.
So tell me how you got into that. Because I love chocolate, by the way.
I love chocolate. I will bring you some next time.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just saying. Yeah. No, but I think it's... I'm not saying it because of that. I'm saying because, like, you must really love chocolate to, like, want to learn how to make it.
I do love chocolate.
Because most people aren't that, you know, sophisticated to want to go that extra step. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You're your own Willy Wonka is what I'm saying.
I am Wilhelmina Wonka. No, but yeah, it's fun. I had started doing it with my brother, experimenting with a food processor and cacao nibs like 10 years ago or more, maybe 12 years ago. And we just used to put like cacao nibs. He dumpster dove a bunch of cacao nibs from Scharfenberger. They were actually whole beans.
Wow.
He was into dumpster diving at the time. It was a little while ago. We were kids. And Scharfenberger kept their, you know, dumpsters apparently open for a little while until they locked them. But he got, like, they scored some cacao beans, and they just sat watching TV, cracking the beans open, and then we made cocoa liquor in the food processor. So wow. Now they have machinery. I have a machine that's, like, called a melanger, and basically it's got stone grinders, and you leave it in for, 24 to 48 hours, and it gets down to the micron so that you can't detect, like, the mouthfeel of the grit of the cacao. Yeah, it's a very long process, and then you have to temper the chocolate, which means like getting it up to a certain temperature, down to a certain temperature, and then to a certain temperature in the middle, and you have to get into molds before it like loses its temper, because that's how you get it to have that glossy snap that wow. You know, makes chocolate. Otherwise, it kind of tastes gritty, and it tastes like there's cocoa crystals in it, and it's got a weird chalky appearance on the outside. So it's fun. Yeah, I sold some chocolates to help raise money for my album, and
smart. That's a sweet idea. A sweet idea, Mikey. You weren't even there. So, is your favorite milk dark, white?
Dark for sure. Okay. I usually make an organic 70% dark chocolate with just cacao nibs, cocoa butter, and organic sugar. Sometimes I infuse the cocoa butter with something a little fun.
Okay.
It's California. You can fill in the blanks.
Of course. I'm sure. You kids today.
Yeah, so I started making them actually after my car accident. I was like, oh, you know, maybe I can make my own edibles.
You should be making CBD. That's like the hot ticket right
now. Oh,
right?
Yeah. CBD is.
CBD chocolates.
CBD is the thing. Yeah, it's a whole, yeah. Maybe once my album is complete, I'll.
Well, what's your favorite chocolate that you make?
My favorite chocolate
like,
that I make?
Like, what is the combination? Is there any special...
Well,
peanut butter or anything, or do you just do straight up 70% dark chocolate?
I love the straight stuff. I also love to make candied cacao nibs and put them inside the chocolate. It's
wow.
So addictive, like it's not even funny.
That sounds amazing.
I'll give
now Mikey's really frothing at the mouth. Who doesn't like chocolate, right, Mikey?
No friend of mine.
Yeah, no friend of mine. See, what's your favorite chocolate?
Man, I love white chocolate.
Of course you do. Why? You're from Denver, man. Oh, man. Just kidding.
Oh man, I suppose that's a controversial stance.
You know what? I think people need to be themselves and love what they love and love who they love.
No, white chocolate has its place. There's like a white chocolate macadamia nut cookie. There's nothing better than that. There's white chocolate. That's like white chocolate at its prime. So like,
I just like chocolate. Green chocolate. Tea is a good combo.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You can, when I'm not, you know, making chocolate or making music or cuddling my puppy, you can find me watching all of the cooking and baking shows.
That's awesome. Well, you heard it here first. Whether she's making music, making chocolate, or on the stage, or...
Cuddling my puppy.
Cuddling her puppy, or making videos, Karuna Tanahashi is the artist for all of us, right?
Thank you.
Well, we're going to have to see you next time. We appreciate you coming down and being a part of this. Mikey Smith on keys.
Mikey Smith, thank you so
much. Yeah.
Sweet.
There you go. And that's for your chocolate, too. On behalf of Eddie and myself, we'll see you guys here next week.